Take your Bible now with me and turn with me, if you will, back to the book of Jeremiah. Remember, how many remember Paul Harvey? Do you remember Paul Harvey? Paul Harvey would always say, and now you know the rest of the story. The problem is this. Get out of here, kids. The problem is this. You don't know the rest of the story because I only got to 2 points in my sermon this morning, but I'm not repeating what I said this morning. Here's what we said, though, in essence. We said this. We said that Bible prophecy, if you think about it, it's like a stage, and the props are being set onto the stage. And so we said the first major prop that has been set on the stage for the literal fulfillment of Bible prophecy is the existence of the nation of Israel, the state of Israel. You cannot have fulfilled Bible prophecy literally apart from the state of Israel. And to all of us in this room, to most of us, Israel has been a nation, since before we were born, or many of us. Some of us saw the nation come into existence on May 14th, 1948, but for most of us, it's just been there. However, there's generations and generations and generations that knew of no homeland for the Jews, no state of Israel. God said they would have their homeland again, and we talked about that. The stage is set because of that. By the way, America should remain unashamedly pro-Israel. If we ever turn from that, we are really in trouble with God. Okay, so we need to stay that way as a nation. That's scriptural. Now, prop number two, what we talked about was the preparation for the tribulation period. And it was my contention this morning that in order for us to get to the point where there is such a massive transformation in this world, the world will have to be prepared beforehand. And we talked about the tribulation period from Jeremiah chapter 30. If you look at verse number 7, just as a summary of what we said this morning, the Bible says of the tribulation period, "Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it." Jacob is a reference, of course, to Israel. It is a time of specific trouble focused on the nation of Israel, but worldwide in its scope. And then I went from there to Revelation chapter 13 to demonstrate to my personal satisfaction that while we believe the mark of the beast is coming, it is not here yet. But we believe that these mandates that are universal, that are non-constitutional, that are draconian, that are fascist, these mandates, that these things are preparing people to simply receive dictates at the hand of the government. And the problem is, regardless of what you do, you do you with the vaccine. That's not my thing. I'm not medical, okay? Get a lot of information, then make your decision. But whatever you do, know this, these things that are universal are preparation for something bigger that is coming. I'm absolutely convinced of that. I'm convinced of that because history is not circular or cyclical. History is linear. We have a point in time event of the creation of man and the world and all the things spoken of in the book of Genesis. That is a point in time. From the point in time of creation, we are marching toward the culmination, the end of time. Now, are we living in the latter days? Yes, the Bible says so. In Acts chapter 2, Peter said that the church age is the latter days. We are living in the latter days. The question is, how far until the rapture of the church? I cannot answer that question. How far until the tribulation period, which will follow the rapture of the church? I cannot answer that question. But what I can tell you is this. The stage has never been better set, listen carefully, for the literal fulfillment of Bible prophecy. Now, you say, Pastor Monty, we used to hear a lot of preaching in evangelical circles about Bible prophecy. We don't hear that so much anymore. That is due to a theological cancer that has spread like a wildfire through evangelicalism, and it is known as Reformed theology. The centerpiece of Reformed theology is something called amillennialism. Pastor Monty, what in the world does that mean? Well, think about the millennial kingdom. How many know what I'm talking about? 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth. Now, if you believe in the millennial kingdom, you are a millennialist. If you don't believe in it, you are an amillennialist. Here's how I remember it. People who do not believe in the millennium wander around saying, they ain't going to be no millennium. That's how I remember it. It's Pastor Monty, that's deep. That is as deep as it gets from this pulpit. However, if you take the Bible literally, and our Reformed friends do not take Bible prophecy literally. That is a problem. By the way, when you walk away from a literal meaning of the words of the Bible, you can make it mean anything you want. If you believe it literally, then you look at it and you say, well, there's a literal fulfillment here. Let's see what God will do. And so we take it literally and so believe that there will come a tribulation period. Now, I only cited really in regard to this two passages, Jeremiah 30 and then Revelation 13. But I wanted to give you a little hint that the doctrine of a coming tribulation period does not rest only on those two passages. Indeed, there are multiple passages, both in the Old and New Testament, that predict this. You don't have to turn there, but if you'd be interested to read later, Deuteronomy chapter 4. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, that goes all the way back to Moses. And in Deuteronomy 4, verses 25 through 31, Moses himself, before the nation was ever in the land, before they had possessed the land of Israel, Moses himself predicted that there would be tribulation that would come in the latter days. That was a very early prediction of the tribulation period. But I want you to turn your Bible with me to the book of Zephaniah. So you are at the book of Jeremiah. Turn to Zephaniah. That means you're turning toward the New Testament in your Bible. I'm going to give you a moment to get there. It is on page 970 of your John R. Rice Reference Bible, if you have one. Zephaniah, the book of Zephaniah. And this is another passage, and by the way, there are so many tonight, I can't possibly list them all for you, it would wear you out. But I want to read some things in Zephaniah chapter 1. Zephaniah, well, let's back up for a moment. Let's look at Zephaniah, and we're going to go to chapter 3. Let's go chapter 1, okay? There's so much here, I'm having trouble picking what I want to do. Look at verse number 14, Zephaniah 1, verse 14. This is a description of the coming tribulation period. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man, shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and the alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as the dust and their flesh as the dung. That is a depiction of the tribulation period. It is yet coming in our future. I'm going to give you another reference, if I may, and that reference is Zechariah 14. In fact, why don't we just turn there a few pages over to your right, Zechariah 14, and look at this. Again, the prophets, and there are so many, I'm only cherry-picking just a few. Zechariah 14, verse 1. Look at this. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh. Now, by the way, note that phraseology, the day of the Lord. That is a very significant motif of the prophets. Will you say Pastor Monty, Zephaniah, and Jeremiah, and Zechariah? They must have gotten together and emailed one another their notes. No, they didn't. They did not. These men wrote independently. They wrote under divine inspiration. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 1. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. Here is what will happen. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. Note that all nations. There will be a multi-nation force representative of all the nations of the world gathered together to battle against Jerusalem. Historically, that has never happened. So it will yet happen. You say, Pastor Monty, how do you know it will yet happen? Because I simply believe what God has said. Sometime in the latter times, this is positioned properly in the tribulation period, he said, verse 2, I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, the women ravished. Half the city shall go forth into captivity. The residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then look at verse number 3, because this is deliverance during the tribulation period at the very end, when the Lord himself delivers Israel. Look at verse number 3. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. Stop right there. God himself will lead the charge against the nations who almost overrun Jerusalem during the tribulation period. Look at verse number 4 of the same chapter, Zechariah 14, verse 4. And his feet shall stand that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. There shall be a very great valley. What is that talking about? Whose feet? Those are the feet of Jesus. Jesus Christ will come again. Jesus Christ will deliver his people at the close of the tribulation period. Jesus Christ will have victory. Now we're back to Jeremiah, back to Jeremiah chapter 30. You say, Pastor Mahdi, why is that so significant? It is significant because we live in a day and time of great criticism against the state of Israel. Now I want every eye focused on me. What is another prop? We said the establishment of the state of Israel. We said cultural preparation for the mark of the beast. Those are all things that are props. But what is another prop? Universal antisemitism. Notice in Zechariah chapter 14, the Bible says that all nations will be gathered together against the Jewish state. Politicians come and go, but there has been a general tide in recent years that has been really troubling to me, and that is this ongoing opposition to the state of Israel. There are those in elected office in our Congress that will refer to Israel, the nation, as an apartheid nation. That is a lie. The only nation in the Middle East where you could drink the water out of any tap is the nation of Israel. The only democratic nation in the Middle East is the state of Israel. And may I say this as well, our only friend in the Middle East is the state of Israel. And yet there is a rising tide of antisemitism not only in Europe, but in a scary fashion even in the United States. And part of that rise of antisemitism within the United States is a result of something that is adopted by most of Reformed theology, and that is a belief system called replacement theology. How many have ever heard of that? Heard of replacement theology? Pastor Monty, what does that mean? It means, in the eyes of some Bible interpreters, promises that are given to the Jew and to Israel have somehow been magically taken from the Jew and given to the church. Now let me be plain. If God has done that, God cannot be trusted. Because God made specific promises to the Jewish people. I am talking about the organic blood Jewish people. God made certain promises to those people. If he can take that promise away and hand it over to the church, he cannot be trusted. How could we trust God with our eternal salvation if God can switch like that? The truth of the matter, well, Pastor Monty, it's because the Jewish people rejected Jesus as their Messiah. They did, in direct fulfillment of Bible prophecy. But they will one day accept him as their Savior. Let me tell you something. None of the things that has transpired in these worlds world is a surprise to God. God saw it from the very beginning. And God sovereignly works for his glory and his honor, and his word will be fulfilled. He will fulfill his word to the New Testament church. He will fulfill his word to the state of Israel, and there will be no replacement or changing or switcheroo of the promises. It will all one day redound to the glory and praise of God. But before that day comes in its fulfillment, God has said there will be a tribulation period. Pastor Mahdi, why tribulation period? I will not go into all of the detail in the book of Daniel, but it will be a fulfillment of the 70th week, the 70th weeks of Daniel. And we'll get into that at some other time. It's a very complicated study. We'll be glad to get into that at another time. What are you saying? I'm saying this. Both the Old and the New Testament teach that there is coming an unparalleled time of tribulation upon this world. That the emphasis will be in Israel, but that the tribulation will be worldwide, and that ultimately it will draw the Jewish people to a saving knowledge of Christ. So back at Jeremiah chapter 30, verse number 7, he describes that day, the tribulation period, as being a very great day. But that's not all. I said a moment ago, the stage is being set. It is being set by the state of Israel's existence. It is being set by cultural conditioning. It is being set, I believe, by anti-Semitism, where one day the nations of the world will gather together against Jerusalem. Look, if you will, please drop down to verse number 8, Jeremiah 30, verse number 8. The Bible says this, "It shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and I will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him." Pastor Monty, what in the world is that? You don't have to turn back there, but we read it. Zechariah chapter 14. What will happen? The Lord himself, and that is the Lord Jesus, shall go forth and he will fight against those nations. Jeremiah 30 verse 8 teaches that there will be a permanent deliverance of Israel from all foreign powers. Following the return from Babylon, back they were carried away captive in 586. Following the return of Babylon, Israel as a nation has always been dominated by foreign powers. They never knew self-determination. Today they do know a level of self-determination, and yet they are still influenced and dominated by Gentiles. When there was the switcheroo in the presidential election, and then a new man unjustly took over, when that took place, Israel scrambled to send diplomats to the United States. Why? Because Israel needs the support of the U.S. And by the way, they deserve our support, but they need the support of the U.S. We are living, I believe, in something that is called the time of the Gentiles. It, of course, is concurrent with the end times, but started way back when, around the time of the Babylonian captivity. One day, according to verse number 8, Israel will be completely independent of all Gentile foreign powers. Zechariah 12, verse 1 through 13, verse 1, depict a time of national liberation, both political and spiritual, and without a doubt, this is yet future. You say, Pastor, have some of these things been fulfilled? I submit this to you. The stage is set. The stage is set as Jews begin to migrate back into the state of Israel. There's immigration. They push and encourage immigration. The stage is set as the nations of the world again turn anti-Semitic against the Jewish people. The stage is set because one day they will be delivered from all foreign powers. You say, Pastor Monty, that's a fantastical vision. It is exactly what the Bible teaches. Now, they will have to go through a 7-year tribulation period. They will have to go through that. They will have to go through that in order to recognize Christ as their Messiah. You say, what will happen after that when Jesus comes and breaks the yoke of Antichrist and the bonds of his armies from Israel in the Battle of Armageddon, verse number 8? What will happen? Look at verse number 9. They shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. What? Now, everyone look this way. Look this way. If you don't take the Bible literally, that's weird. But I take the Bible literally, and it is no problem with God. Follow what I'm saying. We have a tribulation period that will last for 7 years. We detailed some of those things. Then Jesus Christ will come again in the second coming. He will throw off the yoke of the Antichrist, defeat the armies that have marched into Jerusalem, and looks like Israel's done for, but in the very last moment, Jesus comes again. What happens after that? There is the establishment of the millennial kingdom. The book of Revelation reveals that that kingdom will last for 1,000 years. Who will be the king of that kingdom? It will be Jesus Christ. Who will be his co-regent reigning with him? It will be none other than King David. What? Look at your Bible with me. Look at it again. They shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Pastor Monty, David surely is a reference to Jesus. No. Jesus already had a resurrection. The David spoken of there will have a resurrection. I firmly believe, based on the authority of Scripture, that King David, you mean King David and Goliath, King David? Yeah, that one. That King David, who will be part of the resurrection of the Old Testament saints, will rule with Jesus Christ in Jerusalem as capital of the world. You say, Pastor, how can you believe such a fanciful thing? Because the Bible says it's so. Now, by the way, this ought to make every Christian rejoice, because there is a plan, and not only is there a plan, but there is a really detailed plan. Now, our evangelical friends, some of them, bless their hearts. I say the words bless their hearts because then I can say anything I want to afterwards, and it's non-offensive. Some of our evangelical friends, bless their hearts, will say something like this. Oh, well, you shouldn't look so deeply into Bible prophecy. It's also confusing. They like to use this word. They say this all the time. They say, it's a genre. Doesn't that sound smart? You just throw around the word genre. Why, it's an apocalyptic genre. And you put those two words together and you're doubly smart. It's an apocalyptic genre. And all people get messed up when they tiptoe and they shouldn't even try to understand it. It's just something we're never going to understand. Why is it written there? And what don't you understand about the resurrection of King David? Don't you think any Jew would understand whom he's speaking of here? Absolutely. King David of the Old Testament. King David of David and Goliath fame. And one day he will be resurrected. We're talking about a restoration of the Davidic monarchy under the rule of the Messiah and a co-regent of King David. I firmly believe it because the Bible says it is so. What's exciting about this? Are you getting a picture of what this could look like? Now, we don't know every single detail, but we do know, and Zechariah didn't read further on, that there will be topographical changes in Jerusalem itself, that the mountain, the place where the Lord's house is, Mount Zion, where the temple is located, that that will actually be elevated above the mountains of the earth. We do know, according to Ezekiel, that the throne of Jesus Christ will be in that temple. We understand that there will be a river that will flow from that temple. And for those of you who are fishermen, the Bible in the book of Ezekiel says that they're going to cast their nets into the water and they're going to catch wonderful fish. Isn't that good news, guys? Fishing in the millennial kingdom. Pastor Monty, what are we going to do for 1,000 years? Fish. And it still won't be long enough. I say it jokingly, but I say it happily, because the things that I'm saying are absolutely out of the pages of the Bible. Now, that ought to give you a little bit of a view of something. This broken world, this world riddled with disease, this world where periodically we as a church family gather together, like we did yesterday, to say goodbye to someone that we love. This old world where we troop out into a cemetery somewhere and there's a little scar made into the ground and the casket is lowered into that ground. This old world is not always going to be this way. The curse that is on this world, and the apostle described it as the world groaning and travailing in sorrow, the curse that is upon this world one day will be lifted. In the day of the kingdom age, things will be different. Death will be no more. In the day of the kingdom age, illness will be stifled. In the day of the kingdom age, sin will be disciplined and justice will be done. In a world that is so dark as ours right now, isn't it good news to know that there's something better coming? I love the details that God gives us. By the way, if you want to read more details about it, read Ezekiel beginning in chapter 40 all the way to the end of the book. The restoration of the Davidic monarchy and the rule of the Messiah is mentioned in verse number 9. What is verse number 10? We're back in Jeremiah 30. What is verse number 10? Therefore, fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel. Why are those words important? Because he has just predicted for them a time of tribulation that will be beyond anything the world has ever known. He says, don't fear, don't be dismayed. Why? For lo, I will save thee from afar and thy seed from the land of their captivity. Jacob shall return and shall be in rest and be quiet. None shall make him afraid. Those words are particularly encouraging to our Jewish friends who have always been made afraid in any of the nations where they have been driven, who have been persecuted much prior to the Nazi persecutions in places such as Poland and Czechoslovakia, who have never found a place of rest. The Jewish people can rest in God in that time. He says this, for he continues on and says, Jacob shall return and shall be in rest and be quiet. None shall make him afraid. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. Though I make a full end of all nations whither I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee. Now I want everyone to listen. That little hint about the nations where the Jews have been scattered, they've been scattered across the face of the whole earth. Many of those nations have not been welcoming to the Jewish people. There is described by the Lord Jesus in the Olivet Discourse a judgment of nations, where nations that have mistreated the Jewish people will be judged in such a manner as to not exist in the millennial kingdom. Pastor, do you really believe that? Oh, yes. I believe that a nation's future existence, the millennial kingdom, is one kingdom but made of many nations. I believe that a nation's existence in the millennial kingdom will be predicated upon how that nation treats the Jew. And ladies and gentlemen, let me say, if America does not do right by the Jewish people, we may not have our place in the kingdom age. I think it's clear from the pages of Scripture. He said, I will back up to verse 11 so I can explain more. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. Though I make a full end of all nations, whither I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee. God has always promised his people will be a remnant. There will always be Jewish people. They will be judged in the tribulation time, but he will not make a full end. But I will correct thee in measure and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. What is he saying? There will be a judgment of nations who persecuted the Jews. The Jewish people themselves also will be judged. They will face their judgment for their sins, for rejecting their Messiah. Later, they will have opportunity to receive him. How do you know? Romans 11:25. I've covered it many times. All Israel shall be saved. The Apostle Paul teaches that in his huge section on Romans 9-11. He teaches, so all Israel shall be saved. But there will be a judgment of nations who persecuted the Jews. Pastor Monty, what will life be like in that kingdom age? I'm so glad you asked. We're in Jeremiah 30. Drop down, if you will, please, to verse number 18. Everyone, eye on verse number 18. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tents and have mercy on his dwelling places. The city shall be builded upon her own heap, and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof. Jerusalem will be rebuilt following the destruction that is brought about in the tribulation period. Some of you have been to Jerusalem, and you've seen both the modern city, and you've seen the ruins of parts of the city. You've seen different places built over different epochs of time. One of the things that is most instructive is when our tour guide would say, well, those walls over there, they date back to the day of Solomon. These walls over here, they're a little bit newer. They date back to the Crusades. By the way, when they talk about antiques in Israel, they're not talking about something 100 years old. It's probably 1,000 years old for an antique in Israel. One day, the destruction that Israel will face in the tribulation period, all of that in Jerusalem will be rebuilt. Jerusalem is the city of the great king. Their national outlook will be bright, and they will have an expanding population. Look at verse number 19. And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of them that make merry. I will multiply them, that is an expanded population, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, they shall not be small. Their children also shall be as aforetime, and their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all those that oppress them. This is the millennial kingdom age. Nations and people groups that have oppressed the Jews, they will face punishment. God will multiply the Jewish nation. The Jews will have a genuine Jewish leader. Look at this, verse 21, the leadership. And their nobles shall be of themselves. That is very key. Prior to this, there were nations that have assigned leaders over them, but now they will have genuine Jewish leadership. The ruler will also be a priest who will approach God on their behalf. Now think of who this might be. Verse 21, their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governor shall proceed from the midst of them. I will cause them to draw near. He shall approach unto me. For who is this that is engaged his heart to approach unto me, saith the Lord? And I believe, of course, that is Jesus, the ruler priest who will approach to God on Israel's behalf. Israel will by that time return to exclusive worship of Jehovah. Look at verse 22. Ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Look this way, congregation. Look this way. Pastor Monty, do you really believe this about Israel? 100%. You say, Pastor, where's the church in all this? When the Lord returns at his second coming, we will be returning with him from the portals of glory. We will rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. But Israel and the promises made to Israel will never be forfeited. They will be granted. And in the grand scheme of things, both church and the nation of Israel will exist in this millennial kingdom. And each will have its place. There will be exclusive worship of Jehovah for the Jewish people. And then in verses 23 and 24, Jeremiah reminds his readers that before all of these promises can be fulfilled, the nation will experience judgment. Now, 23 and 24 specifically notes judgment at the hands of Babylon. But only in the latter days will this prophecy be fulfilled in its truest sense. Pastor, why this long talk about Bible prophecy? Here's why. What you see happening today, watch this, is always a step toward what I've just described. There are things that have to happen first: the rapture of the church, the tribulation period. The tribulation period includes the rise of an antichrist. It includes a one world system. It includes the mark of the beast. It includes a monetary system. It includes persecution of believers. It includes persecution of the Jews. It includes warfare, a series of campaigns that will take place. It includes the Gog and Magog conflict, roughly around the middle point of the tribulation. It includes the Battle of Armageddon, roughly toward the end of the tribulation. All of these things have to take place. Then Jesus Christ will come again. He will establish his kingdom. He will restore to this world a sense of Edenic beauty and peace that the world has longed for, and it is coming. It is coming as sure as this is the Word of God. It is coming as certain as God, who inspired these words, stands behind them and guarantees their fulfillment. And no political party can take this away. And no imposter can stand up and say he will override this book. And no level of sickness and disease in a sin-cursed world will overthrow this and derail this. And no scheming of, what do they call those women in Congress, those obnoxious ones? The gang, the squad, thank you. The squid? No, the squad, okay. No schemings of the evil squad of weirdos in the Congress can ever overthrow the Word of God that is in my hand. Oh, they can plot and plan. They can condemn the state of Israel for alleged crimes and exalt the terrorists, and that's exactly what they do. But they can never overthrow this book. See, here's the thing. We could all be, if this was all we had, we could all be super discouraged. But this is not all we have. Because now you know the rest of the story. And by the way, I've only touched the surface of this. Page after page after page of your Bible is filled with what God promises he will do. Oh, Pastor Money, did you read the latest thing on Facebook? It was so scary. Okay. Get your nose out of Facebook. Get your nose into the book, and it will all change before your eyes. Why? Because our God said it is so. And I simply believe what he said. And when you believe this, it gives you hope, it gives you peace. As you see these things unfolding and as we see history marching toward the culmination, you can say, I know why this is happening. God said it. And in the end, God gets all the glory. Father, please help us to see this tonight. This great truth that your plan is explained to us in page after page after page of the Bible. Father, we've only looked at just a small sampling of Scripture tonight, yet we could have gone to much more. Holy Spirit, I pray that in a time when nothing but fear and uncertainty is pushed in the public arena, that you will help us to look at our Bible and to just smile and say, God is still on his throne. Give us that peace. And for any that don't know Christ, help them to come to him tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Stand with me, please, everyone. Standing together.